Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220. Or check them out at newhopetaxdefense.com. Call right now, 702-483-0220. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
See that light on the dash? Don't ignore it. My Auto Service has been owned and operated since 2009 by the Lodge family. Let us help take care of your investment. We have two locations to serve you, 7870 West End Road and 6104 West Cheyenne. Give us a call, 702-242-5432. Let our friendly staff know your friends are the Lodge family. Smog checks and synthetic blend oil changes are only $14.95 when you mention the Lodge family. Take care of your investment. Call My Auto Service today at 702-242-5432.
5432. Gotcha. Yo.
Sorry, man. I took an upper to stay awake. My heart started pounding, so I took a downer to take the edge off. Honestly, I feel worse now.
What? One of my friends overdosed after mixing drugs like that. I don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah, I definitely won't be doing that again.
Well, let's stay online for a bit so I know you're okay.
Yeah, man. Bet. Let's go.
There is no safe way to mix drugs. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
By the way, today marks the beginning of week 6 of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. We're going to take you live to Carson City. Toby Urich will join us. He is Assemblyman District 19. And one of the things we're going to talk about is what it's like to introduce a bill, your bill. Last week, Toby Urich introduced his first bill as a member of the Assembly. And that's got to be a thrill. This whole notion of being able to create legislation that may eventually become law is kind of exciting. And we're going to find out what that's like. Also, Wayne Allen Root will join us, the host of Raw and Unfiltered, and we'll find out what's on his mind. I can't wait to ask him what he thinks of Ron DeSantis. He is, of course, Wayne is a big fan of Donald J. Trump, and they are friends. But there may be another candidate in the race. He's not in yet. Not in yet, but he's coming close. He sounds like a candidate. I don't know how many of you heard the speech. We'll try and get some reaction from you as we go along this afternoon. But I'll just tell you, it sounds to me like he's a candidate. He talks like a candidate. He walks like a candidate. Trust me. This guy, I think, is going to be a candidate, and he makes a lot of sense, and he's done a great job in Florida. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more. Toby Urich joins us from Carson City coming up next, Assemblyman District 19. It's all straight ahead on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next. I see that.
Friend. friends. It's Patrick Casal, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in the United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casal of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studio.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. A controversial oil drilling plan for Alaska's North Slope, getting the stamp of approval from the Biden administration.
Environmentalists are expressing disappointment with President Biden's decision to greenlight Alaska's North Slope Willow Development Project. Sources say the plan would allow three drill sites for about 219 wells in total. Oil company ConocoPhillips says it could produce up to 180,000 barrels of oil a day and 300 long-term jobs. The Stop Willow campaign had been gaining traction on social media, gathering more than 300 million views on TikTok. But the development enjoys widespread support in the state. And on March 3rd, while some indigenous Alaskans were protesting outside the White House, the state's congressional delegation met with Biden to argue in favor of the project. Separately, the White House announced that nearly 3 million acres of the Beaufort Sea would be closed off from oil exploration, and drilling would be limited to protect wildlife in more than 13 million acres in the National Petroleum Reserve. I'm Jennifer King.
Also at townhall.com, this man says residents in Cambria, California, and other communities are bracing for what might come next after flooding led to temporary evacuations and road closures. Joseph Ryan spoke to KSBY.
You know, we had prior another atmospheric river come through, so it was concerning how much rain we would get.
That atmospheric river, when it moves out, weather officials say another onslaught of rain and snow could yet again pummel the region as soon as Monday night, with that storm bringing gust of wind as strong as 50 miles per hour. On the other side of the country, meanwhile, a powerful nor'easter will arrive tonight after the evening commute. The storm at its peak will rage all day Tuesday, but should exit by Wednesday. On Wall Street, a mixed finish. The Dow was down 90 points, but the NASDAQ up 50. This is townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest-rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900.
Tired of the same old partisan politics? The type that gives Nevada lax voting regulations, reduced educational choice, and bloated, inefficient state government? Feel like you're swimming upstream against a tsunami of special interests and legislators intent on serving the needs of government rather than those of ordinary Nevada residents and businesses? There is hope. I'm John Sarpalis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And we are working to hold our elected leaders responsible. This isn't a partisan issue. Republicans and Democrats have let down the very people they claim to represent in Carson City. For the good of our children, our parents, and ourselves, let's come together and work to put policy ahead of politics. Go to NevadaPolicy.org and learn what we're doing to stand up for your freedoms. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, the Raiders have landed a replacement for Derek Carr. The Las Vegas Review-Journal is reporting that the Raiders have agreed to terms with free agent quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. 3 years worth $67.5 million with $34 million in guarantees. The former San Francisco standout who helped get the 49ers to one Super Bowl and multiple NFC championship games reunites with Raiders coach Josh McDaniels and general manager Dave Ziegler, both of whom worked with the Patriots during Garoppolo's time in New England. In his 57 starts, Garoppolo has a quarterback record of 40 wins and 17 losses. The Lady Rebels are headed to Louisiana to begin the big dance. UNLV is the number 11 seed in the Greenville 2 region and will face 6th-seeded Michigan in the first-round action at Pete Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. If the Lady Rebels get by Michigan, they will play the winner of Louisiana State and Hawaii. UNLV is playing in its second straight NCAA tournament after winning the Mountain West tournament this year, finishing 18-0 in conference play, winning the program tying 22 straight games.
KMZQ on-time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Still seeing some slow flows as you enter the downtown area on Interstate 15 northbound once you get past Charleston. Also look out for crashes westbound Charleston at Durango and southbound Rainbow. That's at Post Road.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two of Live and Local. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 3 o'clock. And then, of course, Wayne Allen Root, Raw and Unfiltered. Always good to have him on. And we always have so much fun when he's on for some reason. Toby Urich, who is an Assemblyman District 19 up in Carson City. First of all, give us a weather report. What's going on up there?
How are you, Kevin? It's great to be back with you today. Weather actually this morning was beautiful, although I will tell you, I'm staying in South Reno. It was gorgeous when I woke up there. Driving through Washoe Valley every morning, it's like its own climate and ecosystem through there. And then pull in here to Carson City, it's gorgeous. It was a little rainy this morning, but now I'm looking out my window at beautiful snow-covered mountains and blue skies with scattered clouds.
You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. I got to ask you, because one of the fun things that you and I do, and we found a way to make this fun, that is to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's a lot of all categories in the hopper right now as we are moving to week six of the Nevada legislature. Let's start with the good. You got any good bills that are still alive?
Well, can I be selfish for a second and talk about my first bill presentation?
Yes, which was last week.
That's right, my first bill presentation on what I think is a good bill, especially I think what I would love to even talk about most on that is that what's good about it is truly, well, first of all, it is a bipartisan bill. I think I mentioned last time I was on your show that the chair of the Education Committee, Assemblywoman Bill Gray Axelrod, was a co-presenter with me, a co-signer on the bill. And it's, I think it's just been an amazing experience for me, especially as my first bill presentation, to see this legislative process. Now, a bit tongue in cheek, I don't know that I would have picked such a hot topic for my first bill presentation had I known better, but, it was truly an amazing experience in the legislative process. They anticipated this bill to be, kind of controversial or at least, emotionally charged. And it was, for sure. They actually had to move the hearing to a larger hearing room, and they set my bill presentation as the only one on the calendar that day. But honestly, I look at it and I think, why is it such a big issue? Well, obviously, across Nevada, everybody understands, I think, across the board, how challenged our education system is. And so you add that, I think, to everybody at some point has gone through their own schooling and has some familiarity with the educational process. So everybody's got their own ideas. And I think you put those issues together. And wow, it was an interesting experience. But I got to say, the committee on education was extremely professional. And Vice Chair Angie Taylor just did an amazing job of facilitating the hearing. In fact, she had to facilitate it because the chair was my co-sponsor and co-presenter. But the committee members were engaged. They asked meaningful questions that furthered the dialogue and discourse. So it was, on the whole, I don't know if I had mentioned last time about an amendment to the bill, but basically just this legislative process of bringing out these topics, people coming out of the closet and to the table, talking about these issues to just try to find a way to find solutions that will work for everybody. So that was a good experience for me.
I don't know this to be true, but I would imagine it's kind of like the birth of a baby, and you're right there. You are right there at the very start of the life of what may become law. What would the bill do? Can you explain what the bill's about?
Yep, absolutely. So this was AB 175, and this is the bill that potentially altered the makeup of our school board of trustees. And as initially pitched, it was going to alter the 7 existing trustees that are all elected and voting members now to break that up and make 4 of them elected and members, and then make 3 appointed by local government entities. And, you know, there were some legitimate concerns that came out as a result of that, and maybe potentially diluting the democratic process and the voice of electeds having a say. And so I think contrasted with everybody, I think, across the board, understanding that there's a high level of dysfunction on some of our boards. And again, I this isn't about attacking our trustees, but there are certainly some challenges there. And so how can we perhaps elevate the discussion on those boards, bring a level of professionalism on topics where maybe unique to that school district might be necessary or helpful? And so, as amended, the bill actually proposed to keep the same 7 elected trustees as voting members, and now merely to add, depending on the size of the school district, somewhere between 3 to 4 additional non-voting members through an appointment through those local governing entities. So that was the amended process. And even then, there was a lot of respectful discourse and debate on the topic. And I tell you that Chair Bill Ray Axelrod and myself remain open to listening to constituents. I have some more as a result of that hearing, individuals that have reached out to me. I'm going to be scheduling some meetings with them this week and next week. We're going to continue to try to refine this bill to advance legislation. We are hopeful that we'll make some necessary improvements.
Again, Toby Urich joining us, Assemblyman District 19. He sponsored his first bill last week, and it got a hearing. I guess my question is, when does it need to be out of committee and headed to the floor?
You know, I wish I could tell you off the top of my head. We have a legislative calendar that my attaché is keeping very good track of. I don't know when that specific date is, but basically the next step is actually to get it to a work session. So obviously, you know, getting a hearing on our bills is an important first step. And then there's obviously a process where we continue to have dialogue and discussion on these issues. And then you hope that, we can get the chair to put it back in committee for a work session where we have the opportunity to take a formal vote and determine whether or not it's going to die in committee or move to the floor for a full vote. And of course, then it's got to go over to the other house for a repeat, a do-over, so to speak. But if we don't get a work session, it theoretically could die in committee. But I'm hopeful, again, working with constituents and stakeholders that we might be able to pull together something where everybody might agree on, gives us a chance to make some difference and get it out of committee.
From the questioning at the hearing, talking with other members, do you think you will be able to keep this bipartisan, and do you think it will have the support to be passed?
I absolutely can say that this initially began with and has continued and will end with bipartisan support. Whether or not we can get to those votes, I will tell you it's probably going to depend on some of the discussions that we're going to have to make amendments as may be necessary to address any legitimate concerns. So at this point, I would say we're probably, if I had to lay odds, about a 50-50 chance. And but again, I remain committed. Chair Bill Gray Axelrod remains committed to doing all we can to work with individuals to find a solution and a final amendment that would ultimately make it out of committee and onto the floor.
AB 180, one of the good bills. We always talk about, you and I always talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. What about AB 180? What do you know about it? And it's law enforcement and it's collective bargaining.
Yeah, it is. So another, I think, great example of bipartisan piece of legislation. You may be aware it was brought forth by Assemblyman Hibbetts, myself, and Assemblyman DeSilva, who is a Democrat. This bill basically establishes a separate collective bargaining group that consists of Category 1, 2, and 3 police supervisors. So in recent legislation over past sessions, my predecessors were able to establish collective bargaining rights for some of our state employees, which was kind of a big first step to ensure that we can just make sure that the needs of individuals that want to come work for the state are properly balanced with what the state has to offer. And so that was put forward. But the interesting thing about the law as it exists right now is that it puts all supervisors into one large bargaining group. And as you can imagine, that is a little bit challenging to find a community of interest there that can properly advocate or help address issues and concerns that are unique to police supervisors. And so that's what this bill seeks to address, establish police supervisors as a separate collective bargaining group that can address those issues that are unique to them.
Toby, one of the best pieces of legislation that I can ever think of is a bill that is common sense, that everybody can grab onto. And that's what I see in AB 230. Can you talk a little bit about this regarding the late election results, which really were an embarrassment for our state in the last election?
Yeah, Kevin, this is unfortunately, it seems to be solely at this point a Republican bill, but we're hopeful that through the legislative process, we're going to gain some bipartisan support. But basically, I'm sure that you are aware and your listeners are aware that current law requires mail ballots to be postmarked on or before the day of election, and then those ballots have to be received by 5 p.m. on the Friday following the election. So what this bill does is it requires any mail ballot to be postmarked on or before the last day of early voting, and then requires it to be received before the closing day of the poll or closing of the polls on election day. And so we think it's essential that it's going to help make Nevadans' election results more efficient and timely, which we're on the long run, what we're hoping to do is truly increase voter confidence in the outcomes of our elections. We're hoping it'll reduce the uncertainty and anxiety that can arise from waiting for these results for extended periods of time, as well as minimizing opportunities for misinformation that cause constituents to question the validity of these results. So ultimately, we think timely results reflect efficiency and competence of election officials and our electoral system, and that's what we're hoping this bill will do.
And exactly how would it work, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Ultimately, it puts a time frame on any mail-in ballots to be actually postmarked no later than the last day of early voting and to be received by the end of the day, 5 p.m. on election day. That gets these mail ballots in and counted so that we don't have these undue delays and ballots continue to drip in under the current legal system.
One of the bills, the hearing last week, I think it was last Thursday, the Committee on Natural Resources, AJR 3, people I'm talking to, Republicans, conservatives, say this is kind of a green energy type of bill, and it's scary stuff. Can you talk about what it is and what it would do?
Yeah, you know, Kevin, it has not been brought to my committee, which a lot of people might think was brought to would be brought to natural resources. It was actually brought into legislative operations. So I haven't personally read AJR3 and know all of the details, but of course, in general, there's a little bit of a buzz around here regarding that. And as I understand it, what they're looking to do is actually make an amendment to our Constitution that provides a right. An individual right to a clean environment. And, you know, certainly I can tell you, I believe in a clean environment. I want a clean environment. I'm looking to do all I can to keep things clean and healthy for people. But I have to tell you, at this point, I have serious concerns about amending our Constitution to basically address these issues at a constitutional level. I think it has the potential of opening up the floodgates for endless litigation. Quite frankly, in an area of environmental protection that is still evolving and quite uncertain, of course, I think that this could lead to potential economic impacts that could stifle business development and real estate issues. So I definitely have concerns about amending our Constitution at this point to provide such a broad and an ambiguous provision in our state Constitution.
And this is one of those deals that would have to be passed not just this session, but next session, and then by a vote of the people. So at least at some point, the people will be able to speak to this issue.
That is correct. So any amendments to our Constitution as it's presented through this specific process is a joint resolution would have to be passed here, and then it would come back in 2025, would have to be voted again and passed out. And then at that point, it would go to the voters for a final vote on whether or not the Constitution should be amended. So there is definitely some time and some work that can be done on this. I look forward to working with, you know, all of our legislators and trying to figure out what are the good things that we can do without going to this length of truly, I think, just creating problems for us through this type of constitutional amendment.
I want to talk to you, Toby, about something that's I know very important to you, and that's constituent service. Can you talk about how that works? Somebody has an issue with state government. They've gotten caught up in red tape. Can you talk a little bit about what you can and what maybe you can't do in the way of constituent service?
Yes, Kevin, for sure. As you can imagine, the day I got elected, I started getting tons of emails. They first began through my campaign email. And then, of course, once I arrived here at the legislature, I received my assembly email address and contact on the website. And so I started to receive a lot of constituent emails. Some of them are just talking about issues that are about pending legislation. And by the way, I am welcoming all people to reach out and contact me and voice their thoughts and ideas on pending litigation or legislation. But on the other hand, there are certain issues and challenges that can come through just receiving services and benefits through our state executive branch. And of course, you know, here knee deep in the session, I'm limited on what I can do. However, LCB or the Legislative Council Bureau here is amazing, and they do have a constituent services unit here that I can utilize to help provide these sort of support system that is necessary to help my constituents direct them to the resources, get answers to the questions that they have, and ensure that they have somebody here that can help do that. So at this point, I will tell any of my constituents, feel free, reach out to me through my the website, through my legislative email, and we will happily direct any issues that I don't directly involve with in the legislative branch, but I am happy to work to help direct those constituents to the resources that they need to get answers to the questions that they have.
Toby, give us a phone number, give us an email address on how folks can reach out to you.
Absolutely. So the best email is going to be toby.urich@asm.state.nv.us. That's toby.urich@asm.state.nv.us. And my legislative office number is 775-684-8857. That's 775-684-8857.
Toby, it's always good to talk to you about the good, the bad, the ugly, and those in between. Congratulations on your first bill presentation. Hopefully it will become law, and you'll remember the first bill you ever sponsored and passed. That will be a monumental day in the life of a legislator. Thank you so much, my friend. Always good to visit with you. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll see y'all next time.
There you go. Toby Urich, Assemblyman, District 19. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you.